Sunday mornings at Yellowknife Vineyard.
You have to have a law. There's no kingdom that exists without law. And the Bible throughout, we can point to many instances where the law, the principles of the kingdom is repeated and taught to us. For example, the Sermon on the Mountain, the Beatitudes. That's the law of the kingdom. If you read through the Bible, the New Testament, the kingdom of God was central to Jesus Christ's teaching throughout. Repeatedly, he speaks about the kingdom of God. It was very central. That's why it's important that we make Jesus the center of our lives. We make all our teachings central to Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God really is God with us. God living with us. God living with man. Now, you look around the world, like you ask yourself, if God is living among us, why is there so much suffering left, right, and center? Why so much death? Why so much sickness? It's because sin, the fall of man, fractured that capacity to live and do well with God. That's why our salvation brings us back under God's dominion. Are you with me? Without that salvation, we cannot really see and enjoy the kingdom of God. We are saved to do the work of God. And we have to distinct and not confuse doing good works and the work of God. Sometimes we think all I have to do is to be a good person and that is it. No, that's not enough. You have to be redeemed. We have been blessed with so many talents, so many gifts. Use them to advance the kingdom of God. Use them to be a blessing to others. Use them to enrich the lives of others. We need to have hope in the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What does that even mean? It means really coming under the authority of Jesus Christ, coming under the conformity of the lordship of Jesus Christ. One of the things that God has given us is the ability and the freedom of choice. So we have to be deliberate and choose to come and subject ourselves under his lordship, under his kingship, through the redemption and the salvation. When Jesus Christ was nailed onto the cross, he cried out, "It is finished. It is finished." But when you look around, you still see a lot of misery, a lot of suffering. That doesn't mean it's not finished. It is finished. Are you with me? You know, seeking first the kingdom of God and righteousness means seeking the will of God and God's dominion. Sometimes we feel like we can do it alone because we have abilities, we have talents, we have, you know, intelligence. No, we still have to rely upon him. We need to seek his will. What is God's will for ourselves? What's God's will for this church? What's God's will for this city, for this nation? The will of God is that the kingdom be established. Paul cried out, that I may know him and know the power of his resurrection, that I may know and understand the principles for which I'm supposed to be subjecting myself to. We read this morning in Luke. It says, once on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed. Nor will people say, 'Here it is, there it is.' Because the kingdom of God is in your midst." The kingdom of God is in our midst. It's with us. And sometimes it might not feel it that way. Sometimes you ask yourself, why me? Those are fair questions. But I want us to remember that in every situation we find ourselves in, we must always seek His kingdom. We must always seek His will. You know, Jesus went on and says, time is coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it. Doesn't it feel like that sometimes? You know, even in this time that we are living in, where you're looking like you think, oh God, where are you? Are you there? I have good news for you. He hasn't left you. He hasn't left you. He's always there with you. No matter how the circumstances look, you know, salvation does not mean the absence of human suffering. But what that means that we are encouraged that we have victory. We are encouraged that He's going to be always, always there with us. Anytime you feel like you're completely lost, reach out and cry out to Him. Lord, have your way. Have your will, Lord. Subject our own will to that of His. That's what the kingdom is all about. Us coming under that rulership. Not us that lives, but Jesus lives through us. Are you with me? You know, right now, we are living in a climate that has enhanced the division. There's differences of opinions. You know, I think if you look around now, the COVID has just completely increased that divide. There's generation gaps that seem to have increased, whether it's with advance of technology, different approaches to life. You look at the pandemic and how it's deepened those divides among friends, families, communities. But doesn't mean the kingdom of God has been diminished in any way, shape, or form. Not at all. That's why one of the kingdom principle, it calls us to unity. I think we are living in a time when unity cannot be underemphasized at all. It's time that we really, really get united. You know, and I want to just, you know, thank Norma for sharing in the opening the importance of community, the importance of, you know, us uniting together. You know, we didn't share notes, so that really resonated very much and with what I'm just going to talk about, the principle of God and what it means to us and looking at unity. You see, unity creates something larger than what an individual can see or do. The Bible says, one can chase 1,000 to 10,000. What more? 50, 100 or more. We can only be able to do that when we are united. You know, Pastor Melta said several times, like, whatever your opinions about, whether it's COVID or anything else, hold on to them ever so lightly. And hold on to Jesus so strong. Hold on to Jesus so strong. Because it's in the unity that we come together, united under the umbrella, the arms of Jesus Christ, that we become stronger. We can't do it all alone. There's an African proverb that says, if you want to go far, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go with somebody. There is power in being united. There is power in iron, sharpening iron, as Norma said this morning. You see, unity creates, enables us to create synergies and creates a formidable team. Unity amplifies our strength and mitigates our weaknesses. There is need for us to be united. That's one of the kingdom principles. A kingdom divided cannot stand. A church divided cannot stand. A community divided cannot stand. And most often than not, we divide ourselves on very trivial issues. I've been part of churches that have had issues because of the carpet. And and the church breaks apart because of the color of the carpet. So we need to be very deliberate. We need to be very, very deliberate in seeking that unity. Don't feel you are alone. Find a brother, find a sister. We all must work together. The Great Commission is not about one individual, but for us as a collective unit, as the church. You find, like, even when we were going through Revelation, all the letters to the seven churches, it had a theme of unitedness there as well, unity, because every time they were praised for the actions of a few people, there was also condemnation for the actions of the few people, because it was seen as a whole, as a unit. So it's not like, oh, it's not my problem, it's not my business. No, everything is our business. Our brother's suffering is our business. My sister's suffering is my business. That's why we need to be praying for one another. Together we can press forward in the midst of opposition. Though my brother is weak, together we press forward. Together we press forward. The Bible says in John, I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. Father, and I am in you. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. John 17, 20 to 23 says. See, Jesus' prayer was that we be one. He spoke to the disciples, but we can take that message and apply it in today's life to ourselves, that we be one. That is a very strong kingdom principle. For us to be able to see and experience a great revival, we have to be united. United in prayer. United in vision. I think Pastor Mel mentioned that, you know, we'll be articulating the vision for this year. And once it's done that, you know, irrespective of my what I think, my opinion, I have to rally behind that will, that vision. Because that's the way we are going to move forward. That's the way we are going to reach out the lost. That's how we are going to have impact in our community. The Bible calls us for us to be the salt and the light of this world. But we cannot be the salt and the light if we are in our own silos, in one corners. The world looks at that. And they said, well, if they are divided, what attracts me to them? What's attractive if you are bickering? Yes, it doesn't mean that as a village we won't have fights among us. We won't have different opinions. The question is not the absence of those different opinions, it's how we react and we handle them. Do we still remain united under one cause, under one vision? Do we still remain united under the will of God? Knowing that once we do that, we are stronger in number. The Bible says in Galatians, as many of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Jesus Christ. We are one in Jesus Christ. United under the lordship of Jesus Christ, under the rulership of Jesus Christ. We have to be deliberate and subject ourselves under that lordship. What role does a church play in your life? We looked at all the different throughout Revelation. And I like, you know, the way we went through Revelation, because that's a very difficult book that I've always struggled with and I've always stayed away from it. But, you know, when we went through those teachings, and I realized, like, wow, there is power in community. There's a power in being together. So I really thank Norma when, you know, you said, you know, this community gives you something. And it should be like that for all of us. What does the church mean? What role does it play in your life? How many times have you felt alone and lonely? And sometimes you can be with people, but you still feel that loneliness. You know, but you have to reach out. This is your place. This is your community. Being part of a church is important. Do not neglect the gatherings of brethren. You see, God has called us to live in peace and unity as much as we can, in spite of our fallen nature, in spite of this fallen world, in spite of our weakness, we've been called to live at peace and unity. If we are not at peace and unity, how can we pray that there be peace? The kingdom of God is joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. How do we pray for joy when we are divided? How do we pray for peace when we are divided? The world needs a united church more than ever. The gospel of Jesus Christ is one of reconciliation, which is the only foundation for unity now and for time to come. God has, we've been blessed with abundance of gifts. Do we just let those gifts go to waste? Or do we come together and unite and enhance those gifts for the glory of God, for the advancement of His kingdom, for the blessing of many? What does the kingdom mean to you? What does it mean? As I said, and I repeat, it is us subjecting ourselves to the rulership and lordship of Jesus Christ, where we allow Him to lord over our lives. And we are going to see a difference when we let that happen. When we pray, God, let Your will be done. No matter how strongly I feel about something, let me subject my will to Your will. Lord, give me that strength to say, I can't do it by my own strength. Give me the ability to say, God, let Your will take precedence. Show me the way, Lord, of which I should go. Show me the way I should live with my brethren. Show me how I can be a blessing to my brother, to my sister, as we remain at peace with one another, as we remain in unity with one another. Amen? Amen. Are you with me? Perfect. I won't keep you much longer. If you will, I'm going to invite Norma just to come and just, you know, pray that we be united as a people, as a church. Not just this village, this tribe, but the church as a whole. Thank you very much.
Jesus, it's all You and it's only You. Jesus, we just speak Your name. The name of Jesus. which is all power and all authority and all rule, all goodness, all mercy, all faithfulness. Lord, would you purify our hearts that we might let go of our pride and our sin and our self and our self-management of our lives, so that we truly can bow before your throne, Lord, and say, reign in our midst. And as we allow that lordship in our lives, oh, Jesus, just come and unite us together. One in the mighty name of Jesus. Jesus, this is one of those impossibilities that we can't do on our own. And so we ask that you come, draw us deeper into your transforming love. It's as we go deeper with you that we are transformed, and that our heart beats with your heart, uniting us with one another as we grow in that bond of love. So Jesus, come, just fill us afresh with passionate love for you. Jesus, would you fan that flame of our first love, that we might continue to go forth as your people, submitted and surrendered to you, to your lordship, united, God, as Bright has been saying, united for the glory of your kingdom. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. We worship you. We choose to worship you. Where else do we go? You have the words of eternal life. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We hope you can join us next week. Have a blessed week.